Proverbs 25, verse 16. Have you found honey? Eat as much as is sufficient for you, lest you eat too much and vomit it. Well, honey was typical of the blessings, the material blessings that God was offering to give his people. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. So to find honey is to find or to receive God's blessings, his material blessings. And if you find that, he says, just eat what is sufficient for you, lest you eat too much and vomit it. Yep, very true. And yet, when you read Solomon's sort of autobiography in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, he basically says, I had everything. I had all the honey, and I gorged myself on it. I fancied women? Well, all right. So I had like 1,000 women. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Fancied a woman of this particular build or that particular type or hair colour, well, okay, I'll take her. He got involved in building projects. He, of course, built the temple and all sorts of other building things. He got really into it. And he got into agriculture and vineyards and he got into it. He got into alcohol, got into that. He indulged himself, and he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not restrain them from having. So he, as so often in the Proverbs, you see that he states truth, and yet it's just for him academic truth, and he goes and absolutely disobeys it. And particularly his warnings about the strange or the Gentile woman. She will cast many down wounded, keep away from her. And he goes off with all these foreign women himself from a really quite young age, you can work out, about the time he's writing Proverbs. And, as the record says, his foreign wives turned away his heart from Yahweh. Time and again, as you read the book of Proverbs, you think, but Solomon, you didn't exactly obey this, you did the very opposite. And so I think he wrote the book of Proverbs early in his reign, when he's given all this wisdom by God with which to govern his people, and he writes it down, and it is all true. It is true that if you eat too much honey, you will vomit it up. And to vomit up, I think, is a metaphor in the Bible for condemnation. And you think of the dog that returns to its vomit, as a symbol of those who shall be condemned at the last day. And so we just pause to take a message here. We who are so interested in truth, in finding out the right interpretation of the Bible, yeah, you can find it and you can make a note of it. And in the old days, you wrote it in the margin of your Bible. You can make a note on your favorite online Bible program or whatever it is. And, yep, tick that box, I understand that verse, on to the next one, yep, got that, next one, yep, got that. But whilst that remains as simple academic truth, the mere possession of it can actually deceive you that actually you're on the right track with God when you're not. And so all that academic truth can of itself deceive you, unless you turn it into wisdom, which is these truths applied. Solomon had no sense of personal frailty, of forgiveness, of living by God's grace and trusting in a future Saviour and a place in his eternal kingdom by grace. His father David, of course, had all those things, but Solomon didn't have that. And so he has truth, and yet the very possession of it led him to think that he was thereby justified. And this is the problem with all seeking or putting a big emphasis upon find the truth. And yes, I understand this correctly. I'm not saying don't do it. Yes, of course. If God has spoken, it therefore becomes critical to engage in the task of understanding him rightly. Absolutely. And yet, the very fact of possessing that truth can actually lead you to totally disregard personal application. And you see that in church life. You see people who know the Bible extremely well, who have a huge amount of knowledge, and in fact true knowledge, and yet their personal life is a shambles. And when they are busted for whatever wrong things they are doing, we can think, oh, how could that happen? How could someone who knew all that behave like that on the quiet? Well, it's not so shocking when you think about Solomon and when you just think about the processes going on here. Yeah, you've got all that truth, but that of itself can lead you to assume that you therefore are justified by God, justified by purity of intellectual knowledge. It's a sober warning here. And there's something else I want to observe here, and it's that all through the Proverbs, Solomon seems to be justifying his father David and having a dig at the supporters of Saul or Absalom or whoever, all his potential competitors to the throne. Well, have you found honey? Eat. What is sufficient for you? Well, who found honey? Well, you may say Samson, and that's true. There's someone else who found honey and ate what was sufficient, and that person was Jonathan. You remember Saul forbade his soldiers to eat anything, and they had to pursue starving, hungry, and weak after their enemies, and he said, anyone who eats anything's got to die. Well, Jonathan didn't hear him say that, and Jonathan found honey, and he ate. But it is stressed twice in 1 Samuel 14 that he ate a little honey. He says, when Saul says, well, you've got to die, Jonathan shrugs and says, well, all right, I found a little honey and I ate it. Yes, correct. It's twice stressed he ate a little honey. He ate as much as was sufficient for him. So, again, I see here the subtext that Saul was wrong. He said, you can't eat honey that you found. Yes, you can, Solomon says. Eat, and just eat a little, like Jonathan did. Jonathan, of course, was his father's best friend. And so he's eager to justify his father's friend and to condemn his father's enemy, Saul. And I've observed this throughout the book of Proverbs, that Solomon all the time is using God's truth. You know, what he says is true. Don't eat too much honey or else you'll vomit. He uses these truths to have a dig at his potential competitors and to justify his father and to, as it were, whitewash David, who was far from perfect. And again, we have a warning that you can have all this truth and yet use it for your own agenda. You can harness it to your own ego. And so many times you see that. People know the truth about a certain topic in the Bible and they go and engage with the likes of Jehovah's Witnesses or others and they feel good that they tied up their opponent in knots. What was achieved spiritually by that? Well, absolutely nothing. The idea is that we are called to what John Thomas called theological gladiatorship, but he used that phrase at the end of his life when he said he regretted that he had spent so much of his life in theological gladiatorship, and we need to take the lesson from that and the warning from that.